Chapter 19. The Sabbath Test. Daniel and his companions had a conscience void of offense toward God, but this was not preserved without a struggle. What a test was brought on the three associates of Daniel when they were required to worship the great image set up by King Nebuchadnezzar in the plain of Dura. The three Hebrews were called upon to confess Christ in the face of the burning fiery furnace. It cost them something to do this, for their lives were at stake. These youth, imbued with the Holy Spirit, declared to the whole kingdom of Babylon their faith, that he whom they worshipped was the only true and living God. The demonstration of their faith on the plain of Dura was a most eloquent presentation of their principles. The lessons we may learn from the loyalty of the Hebrew captives toward God and His law have a direct and vital bearing upon our experience in these last days. We have a confession to make, different from that which we have made, and we shall have to make it under trying circumstances. In order to impress idolaters with the power and greatness of the living God, we as His servants must reveal our own reverence for God. We must make it manifest that He is the only object of our adoration and worship, and that no consideration, not even the preservation of life, can induce us to make the least concession to idolatry. The vainglory and oppression seen in the course pursued by the heathen king Nebuchadnezzar is being and will continue to be manifested in our day. History will repeat itself. In this age, the test will be on the point of Sabbath observance. The heavenly universe behold men trampling upon the law of God, making the memorial of God, the sign between him and his commandment-keeping people, a thing of naught, something to be despised, while a rival Sabbath is exalted, as was the great golden image in the plain of Dura. Men, claiming to be Christians, will call upon the world to observe this spurious Sabbath that they have made. All who refuse will be placed under oppressive laws. This is the mystery of iniquity, the devising of satanic agencies carried into effect by the man of sin. The people of God will enter into no controversy with the world over this matter. They will simply take God's word for their guide and maintain their allegiance to Him, whose commandments they keep. They will obey the words of Jehovah, "Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for a perpetual covenant." When the Sabbath becomes the special point of controversy throughout Christendom, the persistent refusal of a small minority to yield to the popular demand will make them objects of universal execration. It will be urged that the few who stand in opposition to an institution of the church and a law of the state ought not to be tolerated, that it is better for them to suffer than for whole nations to be thrown into confusion and lawlessness. This argument will appear conclusive, and against those who hallow the Sabbath of the fourth commandment will finally be issued a decree, denouncing them as deserving of the severest punishment, and giving the people liberty after a certain time to put them to death. Romanism in the old world and apostate Protestantism in the new will pursue a similar course toward those who honor all the divine precepts. The season of distress and anguish before us will require a faith that can endure weariness, delay, and hunger, a faith that will not faint, though severely tried. Those who now exercise but little faith are in the greatest danger of falling under the power of satanic delusions and the decree to compel conscience. And even if they endure the test, they will be plunged into deeper distress and anguish in the time of trouble, because they have not made it a habit to trust in God. The lessons of faith which they have neglected, they will be forced to learn under a terrible pressure of discouragement. We should now acquaint ourselves with God by proving His promises. Angels record every prayer that is earnest and sincere. We should rather dispense with selfish gratifications than neglect communion with God. The deepest poverty, the greatest self-denial with His approval, is better than riches, honors, ease, and friendship without it. We must take time to pray. The youth would not be seduced into sin if they would refuse to enter any path save that upon which they could ask God's blessing. My dear young friends, if you are called to go through a fiery furnace for Christ's sake, Jesus will be by your side. To you he declares, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." The threats of men sink into insignificance beside the word of the living God. Be loyal and true, and the God who walked with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, who manifested himself to John on the lonely island, will be with you. His abiding presence will comfort and sustain you, and you will realize the fulfillment of the promise, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him." Youth's Instructor, July 12, 1904.